I like cute living kitties. They're way more fun than the dead cats that I've been dealing with lately.
Yeah.
Welcome to Stargazing, a Stargate gazing podcast. I'm your host, Mary.
And I'm your other host, Kathy.
And each week we review an episode of Stargate alternating between SG-1 and Atlantis. Hello.
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 Woo! How's it going?
Fine. How are you?
I'm okay. End of a work week.
Indeed.
Yeah. Good times.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Are you all up in your microphone's face this time, or are you a more reasonable distance?
I think I'm at a more reasonable distance. I hope. It's definitely further back than last time. I don't know how and why I decided that was a good idea.
This is near. This is far.
Because it wasn't, and I am sorry, everyone who had to listen to my pathetic laughing.
It wasn't pathetic. It was just weird.
Weird. Yes, my weird laughing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting here. There's a cat next to me.
Aw, kitty.
I did join chorus officially, so
oh,
I will
yay.
Not be doing game night, but that's okay. It'll be okay.
Indeed.
I'll just never see Colin again.
Yeah, that's fine. That's probably for the best anyway.
For real, what a terrible influence he is.
Right? Yeah. He's the worst.
I was like, yo, gaming, huh? And you're like, what? Video games? And he's like, no, tabletop. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing to me?
Tabletop games are great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They are, but so are video games.
Agreed. I have not done any of that this week.
Me neither.
Busy.
Indeed. A little bit less busy than last week, thankfully, but still
busy. That's good, yeah.
And I've been tired.
Yeah, me too. I have been tired as well.
I have much less to talk about today than I had last week before we started.
Well, maybe people will appreciate a not 20-minute start to the episode.
I don't know. I had people tell me that they liked it, so
that's fair. Wally also told me she liked it. She was like, oh, you mentioned my brother. I, again,
yay,
have to beep that out, but yeah.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
For sure. Yeah, there's just not too much going on right now.
No, it's been a really uneventful week.
Yeah. I mean, it was a real nail biter for me when you were like, I'm going to go away tomorrow. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. But just for the day. But no, I'm not.
Sorry.
It really
wasn't
like
my fault. I'm the problem,
it's me. No, it's good. I like drama. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Our recording day was in question only because I was supposed to go up to Vermont with Jeff and part of his family. But then an extra family member decided they were going to go too. And I'm like, well, I'm not cramming in the backseat of a car for a 3.5-hour each way drive to Vermont with two other people. So if there's going to be five of us total, then maybe I stay home and then there's only four of you and that will make for a more comfortable ride for people.
Fair.
Yeah. It's fine. I had been debating whether to go or not anyway. And now I will stay home because, like I said, I don't want to be crammed in a backseat with two other people
for sure
of any size car.
But
so yeah, that's my fun story,
highlight of my day, being like, will she or won't she? We'll find out.
I'm sure. But then we ended up recording today anyway.
We did.
By the time I figured it out, it was already too late and we were already getting ready.
Yeah And here we are,
yeah,
doing it.
Yeah,
now
you know who else was maybe gonna do some traveling and then didn't do any traveling?
Who's that?
I don't know anyone that was actually planning to do some traveling. I guess anyone that was going to travel through the gate and then couldn't because they had to quarantine.
Yeah.
I'm not quarantining, but
no.
People in Stargate had to quarantine.
I think that even included Daniel, who was about to go away.
He was actually, wasn't he? Yeah, he was just about to walk through the gate, actually. So Daniel, there we go. Daniel was just about to walk through the gate to go on a trip. And then couldn't because he had to quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thankfully, I'm home by choice tomorrow rather than necessity.
True.
Yeah.
And not because of any strange happenings.
Or diseases.
Yeah.
Or maybe not diseases, but things that seem like disease, very vague. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Stargate SG-1, back to the SG-1, the OG.
Woo!
Except for the movie, I suppose that's the OG. But anyway, we're talking about Stargate SG-1, Season 8, Episode 3, Lockdown.
Ooh.
Which is everyone's favorite word since 2020.
Yep, who doesn't love a good lockdown? Probably everybody now.
Yeah.
Not that anyone would necessarily have ever wanted a lockdown, but yeah.
We didn't really have a good one here anyway.
Yeah, this is true.
Or quality one, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway.
True. Yeah. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Oh, I don't care. How are you feeling about it?
Doesn't matter.
I'll
How about
start.
You start?
Yeah. Okay. Like, good. We landed on that together.
Yeah. Yeah. You starting is kind of like my podcast version of a security blanket. I don't know why.
We're in space.
Indeed.
Yes. They're actually on the space station, the International Space Station. Excuse me.
Yeah.
There's an astronaut there, a Russian one. Elsewhere, Sam and some woman who is also Russian are watching what this guy is doing. Daniel comes in and is like, "What's up, dudes?" And they're like, "We're watching the space station. They're trying to make sure the station doesn't get destroyed by the debris from destroying Anubis's fleet."
Was your version that you were watching giving you subtitles for the Russian? I was watching this on Amazon Prime and it did not, but the transcript that I have here did actually give some translation for it.
Yeah. Do you think they translated or we just have different copy? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's what I was wondering is, did the person that did the transcript happen to actually understand Russian and so decided to go ahead and translate?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's nothing like critically important. They're just like talking about the object in space moving 12 meters per second and being so large. It's not like we missed anything if we didn't know what they were saying.
And there's a particularly large piece of debris that's, like, coming at them imminently. And it looks for a moment like they're going to collide, but then they don't.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
And according to this transcript, the cosmonaut said that everything's normal, we escaped collision, which is another thing that we did not get translated for us.
The cosmonaut is talking... Why is it a cosmonaut? Or is every astronaut a cosmonaut?
The ones on the ISS were both cosmonauts.
Okay, okay.
There were only two people on the screen, but they were both cosmonauts.
Okay.
At least they seemed to be. They were speaking Russian to each other and to the Russian officer.
Is cosmonaut a specifically Russian way of saying astronaut?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Sorry. I'm just trying to, you know. Yeah.
A cosmonaut is just somebody who travels in space from Russia. It's the Russian equivalent of an astronaut. But to my understanding, there's no difference. I don't remember what the Chinese call it. The Chinese, I think, also have a different
term
that now I'm going to look up quickly. Taikonauts.
Taikonauts?
The word taikonaut is actually a combination of the Chinese word taikong and the suffix not.
Oh.
Yeah. T-A-I-K-O.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. I knew they had a different term. I just couldn't quite remember.
Cool.
I might be pronouncing that wrong, but
no. This dude in space is saying things still, and this time Daniel does some translating for us, and this guy is just being cranky about Americans, if they want to keep blasting alien ships out of orbit, they've got to do a better job of tracking their own mess.
Fair point.
Fair, yeah. On the other hand, they did defeat an alien that would certainly have enslaved them, so...
Indeed.
Would they rather he not do that?
Yeah. Mm.
And then suddenly they lose the signal. Nobody knows what happened or why. And then we get a shot of space where a black cloud smoke monster thing goes into the space station.
No, this is not lost.
Yeah, I know. It's not lost, but it seems kind of losty.
Indeed. I don't think we ever even found out what the smoke monster was on that show. That was one of the many loose ends that they left that just made me angry.
Yeah. I don't think they did.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. So, and then we have credits.
Yeah. And then after credits, we're in Jack's office. I noticed that he was still dressed like he was going to go off on a mission in like his normal fatigues style jacket rather than the shirt sleeves that Hammond always wore.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. No.
Wishful thinking?
Maybe, yeah.
Or he just wanted to be comfy.
Yeah, who knows? He was sitting there doing a bunch of paperwork, which didn't seem like a thing that he would likely to enjoy.
Yeah.
A Russian officer comes in. His name is Vasilov. It's actually one of the ones that was up on the ISS in the last scene, I believe. So it's been a little bit of time since the last scene. This guy specifically requested a transfer here to the SGC and wants Jack to know personally that after his many years of service with the Russian Air Force, he thought that he could make more of a contribution here than over there. And in fact, he wants to be on SG-1. And Jack is like, yeah, you and everybody else get in line, essentially. But also don't bother getting in line because that's never, ever, ever going to happen. So go away and get out of my office. Vasilov continues, though, to spout off his qualifications, and he's got all kinds of flight time and knows all different kinds of aircraft. And Jack's like, yeah, that's still really impressive, but you're still not going on SG-1. And that's it. Get out. He doesn't actually say to get out. He just says that the guy is not going to actually go anywhere off world until he's had proper training anyway. So he has to wait, even if he was qualified to join SG-1, which Jack doesn't think that he is. And then he tells him to get out.
And then we're in Sam's area. Yeah. Sam's office, lab, whatever.
Yeah. All of the fake computers, I've never really talked about this before, but all of the fake computers that are in the background on her walls do all of this constant beeping and booping sound or make all these weird noises. And if I had to sit in a room that was making that kind of noise all day, it would annoy the crap out of me.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Since Jeff works around computers all day.
Nerd!
I asked him if he has to put up with a whole bunch of beeping and booping. And he's like, what the hell is beeping and booping? I'm like, you know, beeping and booping sounds that computers make. And he's like, yes, server rooms beep and boop. I'm pretty sure he was lying to me, though.
What? That sounded very sincere the way you told it.
I know. He's always so sincere.
Daniel, Teal'c, and Sam. So what is the current SG-1? Do we still call it SG-3/4? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. SG-3/4, yeah, is there.
Because, spoiler, eventually it is going to have four people,
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Teal'c is letting them know he is getting an apartment soon.
So exciting.
Big day for Teal'c.
It's been 8 years, yeah, of living in a little room on the base.
God. Yeah.
Good for him.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Kind of answers our question. They must be paying him something, or at least giving him a living,
yes,
stipend or something.
Yeah. Daniel wants to know when the party is, and he has to explain what an apartment warming party is. And I kind of was like, does anyone actually call it an apartment warming party?
No, it's still called a housewarming party. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Daniel.
That's weird. Home warming party?
Yeah.
I've never heard it called that either.
No.
I've heard plenty of people move into a new apartment and call it a housewarming,
yeah,
party.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel explains to Teal'c, who does not understand, that it's customary to have a party when you move into a new place. Teal'c asks if he has to cook. And Sam says, nope, we can do potluck. It's great. We'll, yep, all bring something.
Sam will bring turkey sandwiches.
Yep.
And Teal'c himself will supply some donuts. I bet, yep, Jack will bring some Jell-O, particularly,
yes,
green Jell-O.
Yes.
But I couldn't figure out what Daniel would probably bring. I feel like all of their bases are covered with those three things.
That's
so
true.
What would that leave for him?
I don't know. Maybe just a pizza, because everyone likes pizza.
It's true. Everyone does like pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's got to bring the beer, too.
Daniel and Teal'c did bring pizza to Jack's.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'll say that's Daniel's, yeah, thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. It's a good party.
Yeah. And it's going to be next Saturday.
Yeah.
Jack comes in and tells Sam, only going to say this once, at ease. So
she jumped to her feet.
She did.
To stand at attention so quickly in a way that she never, ever did for Hammond. I thought it was quite weird.
Just showing that weird respect, and also so they, yeah, could have this one phrase. Anyway, Daniel asks Jack about the job, and Jack's like, one crisis after another. They gave us Yukon Gold potatoes instead of russets, and you know the mashed potatoes aren't good if they're not russet.
potatoes?
I very much disagree with him because russet potatoes make terrible mashed potatoes. I actually had this conversation just this past Thanksgiving when they only had Yukon Gold or russet at Costco. And I, of course, went for Yukon Gold because russet makes bad mashed potatoes.
I mean, I'll eat any mashed potatoes.
Give it to us raw and wriggling.
But, yeah. Yukon Gold.
Mashed potatoes are great.
Yeah, they are.
And I kind of want some.
I have some in my fridge.
I don't have any.
I bought one of the little, like, Bob Evans pre-made, like, garlic mashed potato packages. And I was like, this will be my side dish for the week.
Now that I'm running more, though, I'll have to start eating them all the time again.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I'm going to add them to my grocery list.
Anyway, that's not that exciting. Also, there's this new Russian colonel who wants to be on SG-1. Jax has told him to make french fries instead when they ask what he said to him, but they meant, no, what did you say to the Russian? Jack, you're so silly. He's like, yeah, he's got to prove himself. Sam's like, well, he's really highly decorated and has lots of experience. And Jack's like, yeah, but he's never been off world. Also, he's Russian. Obviously, you all know I hate Russians, so.
That's got to suck for all the people under his command that are from Russia.
Yeah.
Right now. I would hope he would have the restraint to not treat them all as poorly as we know he wants to and is respectful to them.
I hope not.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't that respectful to Vasilov, but
so hopefully. Yeah. They have a back and forth about what maybe they owe to the Russians and whatnot, as usual. Same sort of things. But ultimately, Jack's like, no, I'm not doing it. He can't be part of SG-1. Three-man team sounds good to him because then he doesn't have to deal with another decision.
Decisions are bad. I agree.
And then Sam's like, ain't no rule that says a dog can't play basketball.
But you won't find anything in there that says a dog can't play.
Yep.
Yep. Basically.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the regulations.
Yep. No reason they can't have a three-man team.
Yep.
Three-person team. Even though Daniel specifically said three-man team, and I was just reading that. But yeah, three-person team, Daniel.
Yeah,
geez.
God.
Next, we're in Vasilov's quarters. He's standing in front of a mirror looking down at a really disgusting arm covered in all kinds of lesions and bloodiness, and it's gross, and he pulls his sleeve down to cover it. Daniel comes in and asks to have a word with him. Vasilov did not have a very convincing Russian accent, but I actually looked up where he's from, and the reason he doesn't have a convincing Russian accent is he's not Russian, but he's actually not American either, or not initially from America. I don't know, you know, what his citizenship status is, of course, but he was from South Africa.
Oh, this is a nice cat food, you know?
Initially. So explains the bad Russian accent. Daniel just wanted to welcome to the neighborhood. He is trying to be friendly, and wants him to know he shouldn't take Jack's decision personally.
Maybe he should. I mean, he shouldn't, but...
Unauthorized incoming traveler.
Ooh, there's beer here, or alcohol of some sort. What is this? Is it a wine spritzer? Red wine spritzer? Thank you, silent red wine spritzer fairy.
Oh, I was confused. I'm like, did you just... I was like, did you just find alcohol in the room? What's happening?
A glass was handed to me very quietly. Vasilov asks if he's supposed to find it comforting that Jack is an equal opportunity offender, as Daniel stated it, and that it's not just because he's Russian that Jack was being so rude. Daniel is really kind of being too much of an apologist for Jack's bad behavior, and this is not his job.
No.
He says that Jack doesn't really respond all that well to outside pressure. Should he be running the SGC then? Shouldn't we go back to when he was running things behind the scenes, but then just pretending to not be in charge?
He didn't ask for this promotion.
True, but maybe he shouldn't have accepted it, though.
True.
Vasilov brings up the fact that the Russians are frustrated that they don't have a more prominent role in the SGC than the one team that they still have. Daniel basically says that that's understanding, but Jack isn't going to make any major changes while he's just taken over control of the facility and is just getting used to the new responsibilities and the extra stress. So he says it's just kind of bad timing on the part of Vasilov and his government to be asking for a major change, like a spot on SG-1 just right now. And then Vasilov suddenly collapses.
Next, we see Vasilov being wheeled on a gurney into the infirmary. There's a new doctor.
There is.
I don't like her.
I don't either, because she's not Frasier.
Right. She's not Frasier.
That was my thought exactly, obviously.
Literally, that's the only thing. Yep. So she's fine.
Nothing wrong with her aside from that she's not Frasier, and that makes me not like her and not want her. Bring back Taylor Rothery.
Yeah. 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 But no, this doctor's still there. Like, what happened? Like, I'm just going to do stuff now because I'm a doctor at the SGC. Ooh, just like, you know, anybody could be, I guess. Mm. Ugh. Anyway, she is like, we're going to take a look at him and you go deal with being off world. So Daniel leaves.
Or tries to. He leaves the infirmary, at least.
Oh, yeah. And then he left the infirmary, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I said. He left the infirmary, but he can't leave because she tells him to leave because he's scheduled to go off world.
Sorry. Okay, I see.
As we've already mentioned, he can't do.
No.
But doesn't know yet.
No. Was there a scene of like somebody going down a corridor from their point of view?
Yeah. Is that very brief.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a brief scene of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're back in the infirmary at some point with Jack there to find out what's going on with Vasilov. He is confused, the doctor says.
Her name is Brightman, apparently.
Sleepy son to me, in dreams he came.
Brightman, okay. Yeah. Bright woman?
Maybe she doesn't like to be referred to as a woman.
That's true. Bright person?
Yeah.
Dr. Bright person?
Dr. Bright person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dr. Bright person reports that Vasilov doesn't remember getting to the SGC or anything that's happened since he was in Russia. Also, he's got lesions over 40% of his body, and his white blood count is elevated, indicating some sort of infection. And he could be contagious.
Yeah.
So.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do something about that.
And they do, because finally we're at that point where Daniel is about to leave. He's going up the ramp with some random SG team for who knows what reason.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And Jack closes down the Stargate and tells everyone to go back to the infirmary. Daniel gets very upset at this. And by very upset, I mean he grabs somebody's weapon and takes somebody basically as a hostage and then starts shooting. He shoots several of the guards that are standing there in the gate room. Teal'c comes in with a zat gun and zats Daniel. Jack comes in with a regular gun and also is shooting at Daniel and thankfully manages to hit Daniel with a bullet, which is obviously not great, but a bullet in a non-critical spot is better than Teal'c having to zat him a second time as he was just about to do since Daniel was continuing to shoot around everywhere. Daniel passes out. He wakes up a little while later in the infirmary, very confused about what's happening. Bright person says that Daniel has lost a lot of blood and it is no longer in any immediate danger. According to SG-11, the team that he was heading out with, everything had seemed perfectly normal up until that point. Everything had been fine. Daniel wasn't acting strange in any way at all until he started shooting up the gate room. And that reaction, of course, as we said, happened right after the gate was shut down. They have no idea, though, why he would be so desperate to get through. Sam asks if Daniel had any of Vasilov's symptoms, but nope, no lesions, nothing weird like that. He does have some elevated white blood cells, which Vasilov also has. Generally, that is an indicator of an infection of some sort. But that's the only thing that he has in common with Vasilov's symptoms. Jack asks her if it could be a coincidence. She does not think that it does seem like it would be one, and that likely they have some sort of a contagion, even though they don't really have too many symptoms in common. Mm-hmm.
So Jack takes immediate action. He goes to the control room, tells the people in the control room to contact everyone off-world, and that they are to go to the Alpha site until further notice because the SGC is off limits under lockdown just after they reopened. I mean, it's probably at this point been a few months since they reopened, but you know, it's like you get everything back up and running and then you just gotta shut it down again. Ugh.
Right?
Then we get a little like scene of doors closing and alarms going off to indicate they're locked down. Yes. Elsewhere, Bright Person is walking when Sam catches up to her.
Before we get too far, I should probably mention that we're not mocking anybody by saying
that maybe she doesn't like being
called woman. I myself prefer to be called person rather than woman. So it was really more of a mention to my own preference.
Yes, there's no mocking.
When I started calling her Bright Person instead of Bright Woman.
We're just really weird dorks who like to run with things.
Did you just call me a nerd? Geek?
Yeah, nerd.
Bright Person says Daniel is still unconscious, but is responding well to treatment, so infection seems to be under control. Unfortunately, Colonel Vasilov, she reports, is much worse. They're treating him with antibiotics, but he's still getting worse, and they can't do anything else because they don't know what the cause of all of this is. Sam's like, well, we can assume it didn't come through the gate since it started with Vasilov, and Bright Person has contacted people in Russia to find out if there's anything going on there that maybe might explain what's going on. And no one else, she reports, is showing any symptoms. So it's all a big mystery right now.
Indeed. Elsewhere in the infirmary, Vasilov wakes up and is talking to Teal'c. He wants to know how Daniel is because Bright Person told Vasilov about what happened. Teal'c says he is getting better, and Vasilov is glad to hear it. Teal'c asks how Vasilov's condition is doing, and Vasilov says that's not so great. He is getting worse and has a really bad headache, like he's been drinking with a general whose name I cannot pronounce and that I don't think that we've heard of before.
A friend of his back home.
Yes, indeed. Teal'c wants Vasilov to know that he doesn't have any responsibility for what happened to Daniel. Nobody's blaming him for it. But Vasilov does seem to be blaming himself because they had to quarantine the entire complex because of whatever it is that Vasilov brought in. And Teal'c rightfully points out that no matter where Vasilov had been, whether it was here at the SGC or back in Russia, they would have had to do a quarantine anyway, and that Vasilov wasn't intentionally exposing people to whatever this illness was. He didn't even know he was sick, and this would have happened, again, regardless of where Vasilov ended up being when he started showing symptoms.
Yeah, Teal'c doesn't want to go to a pity party. He only wants to do housewarming parties.
Indeed, yeah. I hope he doesn't miss his housewarming party because of this, or like his lease signing or anything.
Yeah, right? He must have. Yeah.
That would suck.
Because it seemed like this went on for a while.
It does.
I don't know.
I don't imagine that they were really emailing important documents back then, but maybe they could fax stuff so he won't lose his apartment. Hopefully. Yeah. Apparently Vasilov had some memory loss issues, and Teal'c asks if those memories have come back or not.
Yeah.
Vasilov says that he's begun to see some flashes. So that scene in the hallway of being carried around on a stretcher with people kind of blurrily hovering over the person, I think was supposed to be Vasilov having a dream or a flashback of what had happened to him. He says that he has some vague memories of walking halls and talking to people, but it was as though he wasn't actually there, but just a helpless observer inside his own body. And Teal'c is very alarmed by that description because that sounds familiar.
Sure does. Meanwhile, Bright Person has heard back from the Russians. She's reporting that a cosmonaut from the International Space Station fell ill after they got home. Sam's like, I remember, so that maybe that wasn't recent. Because she's like, I remember we monitored mission, so like, it sounds like it was a while ago. I don't know. I don't know time in this show, but
this episode in particular seems oddly vague about the timeline that we're looking at between the ISS mission and when Vasilov got here and how long this quarantine lasts.
Yeah.
Although later on they talk about some part of the quarantine lasting for like a week or something.
Yeah. And
so it's, I think, longer than we would think it would be.
Yeah. This cosmonaut unfortunately died a week later in a Moscow hospital.
Yikes.
That sucks.
Yes.
And they said the cause of death was officially renal failure, but unofficially, they don't know what happened to him.
So maybe Vasilov wasn't on the ISS. Maybe it was this guy. I think it was they're talking about Konstantinov that was ill after the ISS. Okay, so I was thinking Vasilov had been on the ISS and that's where he picked it up, but I guess he got it from Konstantinov.
Vasilov was Konstantinov. Now it's Vasilov Konstantinov. Okay, sorry. Anyway.
You got a date in Constantinople.
Yeah.
She'll be waiting in Istanbul. Vasilov?
Istanbulov. Anyway. The man who died, Konstantinov, is that what it was?
Konstantinov is the one that
Konstantinov.
Died. Yes.
Konstantinov had similar symptoms.
Vasilbul is what is left. Constantinople is gone.
Yes. Constantinople. Nope. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Don't run with my stupid joke. It's not worth it.
I can't do it.
Although
anyway.
I was basically just running with your joke. Everything's fine.
I just don't have the capacity, apparently, to keep up with one word.
That's fair.
I don't. Yeah.
It's a complex word. Keeping up with complex words is what I do for a living. So
fair. This guy who died, Konstantinov, exhibited similar symptoms to Vasilov. Memory loss, skin lesions, elevated white blood count. And oh my God, Vasilov visited him before he died because they were friends.
I'm never visiting you if you're sick.
That's fine. I don't want you to visit me even when I'm not sick. So there.
I don't want to be quarantined at work because of you.
No.
My students are fine in small doses, but I don't want to be stuck around them 24/7. Sleeping in my stupid office.
I don't plan to be on a space station being taken over by smoke monsters, so...
Fair. Okay, that's probably good then.
They didn't think that Konstantinov was contagious because he had interacted with a lot of people between coming home and being hospitalized, and none of them were sick at all. So, what's going on? Sam says, it makes an oddly selective disease, and Teal's like... Maybe it's not a disease, and explains that Vasilov was having similar symptoms to being a host of a hagfish. But they've tested for that, so what could it be?
This is like the worst case scenario where you're possessed by a hagfish, but there's no actual hagfish, and all you've actually got is the slime instead. Hagfish possession minus hagfish slime only.
Yeah.
Slime-only disease.
But if it's not a hagfish, what could it be? Another form of alien possession? I don't know. Have they seen that before? Sam, though, is like, yes, that's definitely possible. And it could be this entity, she says, capable of moving from individual to individual. They're like, oh, it could be anywhere. It could be any of us. Oh, my God. And then Dr. Brightman gets a call that Daniel's awake. So they're going to go deal with that first.
So they do. Daniel's very confused still. What is happening? Bright person says that he's recovering from a gunshot wound. And Daniel is rather horrified and seems quite offended and angry that he was shot at the SGC and keeps demanding to know who shot him. Jack keeps asking him what he remembers and doesn't answer his question. Daniel says that he went to see Vasilov, who then collapsed, and that is apparently the last thing that Daniel really remembers, and then continues to demand an answer to his question of who shot him.
Who shot me?
There are many sideways looks all around. Before Jack's finally like, well, you were shooting up the gate room, and you had wounded two guards, Sam adds. They thought they were dealing with a foothold situation, and they couldn't take any chances, so that Jack had to shoot him. They don't really mention the fact that Teal'c also shot him first with his AT gun.
I know. I guess the non-lethal one doesn't count. It is not the thing that put him in the infirmary.
True. Yeah, this is true. Daniel then does actually get a flashback of himself shooting up the gate room and is pretty horrified, but... also has an answer to what the hell's happening here. He is sure that it was Anubis.
What?
Anubis had inhabited...
Inhabited.
Talking is so hard.
It is. Weren't you just talking about how you deal with complex words all the time?
I do, and then I overcomplicate words, I think, as a result of that. I spend my entire day... helping people learn Latin and Greek words when I am not a person that speaks Latin and Greek, and then I overcomplicate simple words.
Sure.
Daniel is very convinced that he was inhabited by Anubis, and Anubis was controlling him when he shot up the gate room. Jack says Anubis is dead. Daniel says no, he's not. But he's on the base. Dun dun dun.
Teal'c, Sam, and Jack go elsewhere to keep discussing this.
Yes.
Because, I don't know, they got tired of hanging out with Daniel, which I don't blame him, but...
Yeah, right? That's understandable. Yeah.
They're hanging out in the briefing room now, talking about this stuff.
Teal'c's arms were looking especially huge in this scene.
I did not notice.
I don't know how you didn't notice. It was quite distracting.
I'm Hans.
And I'm Franz. And we want to pump you up.
He was wearing a tank top, but then also the way that he was sitting, kind of leaning back, was making his arms look much more prominent.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love seeing Teal'c's
It was
guns.
Impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to go back and appreciate that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
I love some good arm goals.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to watch Taylor and Teal'c arm wrestle?
Yes, I do. I would watch that all day. It would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she has amazing arms.
She really
he
does.
He has amazing arms.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Anyway. They're continuing to talk about what the fuck is going on and how it could be possible Anubis is around. Teal'c says that according to Daniel Jackson, which again, if they were still with Daniel, he could have said this. But no, Anubis doesn't have a mortal form and exists purely as an immaterial being.
Made of hagfish slime.
Made of hagfish slime, encased in some kind of force shield to keep its shape.
I've dealt with hagfish slime. I'm not sure that it could really be contained by any force shield. Hagfish slime will not be contained. And I guess in the end, his hagfish slime wasn't contained.
Yeah. It was not contained. When they blew up Anubis's fleet, the shield went away, and Anubis has been free-floating in space until he happened to collide with the International Space Station.
People witnessed a free-floating, full-torso, vaporous apparition.
Wasn't he on the piece of debris that almost hit them?
I think so. So, like, yeah. So he was able
hiding.
To, like, hop over.
Yeah.
He went inside the space station, jumped into a cosmonaut, jumped into Vasilov, went to see Daniel. They think the reason for all of this is that he is trying to get the hell out of there through the Stargate, which is the only feasible way to travel back to his domain from Earth. Because Jack asks, why doesn't he use his freaky super cosmic powers to leave? Daniel, I want to say Daniel because this is all things that Daniel knows. Teal'c says that that would alert the ancients and they would bring their wrath down upon him. And what the
But floating around incorporeal in space didn't...
Yeah, and taking people...
I was a little confused about the rules on that.
Bodies, like, come on.
Yeah. It's weird.
They are like, yes, Anubis will try this again, so we've got to figure out what we can do about it. Jack's like, tell me there's something we can do. And Sam's like, yes, of course. I'm Sam. Of course I have an idea.
They mentioned that he probably is going to be trying to go to his own world or some other world to get himself a new shield that can contain his slime, which we know isn't possible anyway. But I was wondering where he got the first one, though. That is weird.
I don't know. Maybe he possessed somebody to find or build it.
Yeah.
I don't...
Can you just get a plastic bag and roll around in that? Kind of like a hamster ball.
Yeah. Or maybe he just needs a bucket, like Odo.
Indeed. Odo-style bucket.
I believe that belongs to me.
Fabulous. Yeah. Yes. A bucket can contain hagfish slime, temporarily, until it inevitably overflows, because there is no end to hagfish slime. It just becomes more and more prodigious. It expands infinitely. There's a bunch of people lined up in the hall on the way to the infirmary, presumably waiting in line to get whatever checkup they're doing to try to figure out where the hiding mass of hagfish slime is. Sam walks past them all with a book and comes in to meet Daniel. She tells him that Jack has ordered compulsory physicals when Daniel asks what's going on and why there's all these various SGC personnel coming in. And they are operating under the assumption that attaining Anubis's essence will have a physical toll on the carrier, like an infection, and so will start to cause symptoms of an infection like the ones that they saw in Daniel. Daniel asks, well, what about Vasilov? Because Daniel seemed to be getting better, but Vasilov's case was more extreme because he was exposed for over a week and his symptoms are more advanced. He's got the weird skin lesions rather than just some heightened white blood cells and fever, like mild fever, I think Daniel had too. So Vasilov's entire immune system was infected and there is no hope for him. He's not going to get better. Bright Person thinks that the exposure went on for too long and it caused so much permanent damage that Vasilov is eventually going to die as a result sooner rather than later.
Sucks.
Indeed. Then we're in the corridor again with the same kind of distorted view that we had before. That seems to be somebody walking towards Jack's office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we go into Jack's office too.
Yeah.
Jack's on the phone.
Not a red phone.
Not the red phone. And he's telling somebody the situation's contained, not resolved.
At first, I thought that Hammond might have taken his red phone with him so that he could talking to his bestie, former Prezi. But then we see Jack talking on a red phone later. Could be a different red phone, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's also telling this person they are going to stay under lockdown until he decides to make any changes. Bright Person during this comes in. Jack gets off the phone and says the Pentagon is getting a little antsy. So however the hell long this has been, who knows? Bright Person's like, yeah, everybody out here is anxious too. She is there to talk about Vasilov and again how his condition is not getting any better. He maybe has a week or two tops. So Jack will inform the Russians of this. Then we're back in the infirmary, where Daniel is hovering over Vasilov for reasons.
Like you do. Standing creepily over the person that you barely know while they're in the hospital.
Yeah. Apparently his first name is Alexei. Daniel is about to be discharged. He says Dr. Bright Person caught him stealing Jell-O from other patients' trays. Oh, Jell-O. Oh, Daniel. Yeah. Do we find out why Daniel is doing this hovering? I don't know.
I think survivor's guilt is my impression, because they both had the same thing and Daniel feels bad that he recovered and Vasilov won't.
Okay, just staring at him.
Yeah.
Fair. Vasilov asks Daniel for a favor. He has written something to his sister and would like Daniel to get it to her once lockdown ends, because presumably he will not be around for that. He has not heard anything official from anyone, apparently. Nobody's telling him what's going on with his own health.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's like, that's a bad sign. Then they talk about Russian sayings. It's not that exciting.
No.
Daniel doesn't take the letter with him when he leaves, but he does say he'll come back, so hopefully then he'll take it at some point for him. Yeah. Daniel, as he's leaving, has another flashback. His flashback, Anubis jumping ship from his body and going into a nurse. And this nurse is apparently Lieutenant Evans. And Daniel's like, he's in Lieutenant Evans!
Lieutenant Evans leaves the infirmary with a food tray and is surrounded by a whole bunch of people with guns. So she drops her food tray to put her hands up and seems quite surprised. And then we're in an interrogation room with Sam and Evans. Evans says that she was examined a couple of hours ago and she is perfectly fine. Sam says it's possible that she's infected and just hasn't manifested any signs yet. Jack is watching over this whole thing as they're talking. Evans is trying to convince everybody that she's not lying and also she would know if there was anything wrong with herself. Sam asks what Evans was doing on Tuesday afternoon, and Evans doesn't understand and also cannot remember. That doesn't seem like a great sign.
No.
Tilk comes into the observation room where Jack is and says that he has been informed that someone named McCaffrey has missed a scheduled appointment at the infirmary and is unaccounted for, so that's also not great.
Yeah. They've got people doing a search for McCaffrey next.
Indeed.
One of the guys gets slammed against the wall. Another guy, presumably McCaffrey, takes his weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. the guy who was attacked is apparently Major Kearney. There we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He reports on the radio, so not severely attacked, which is good, that... Oh, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry. Or was the guy who was attacked Kearney, or was he... Did he... Anyway.
No, Kearney found the guy.
Oh, okay.
Was, yeah,
I'm sorry. Kearney, I'm found Kearney found the wounded guy. The wounded guy is still okay-ish. The wounded guy reported he was jumped by McCaffrey. And that McCaffrey is probably headed for the control room. So watch out, because he's armed and on his way to the control room.
Yeah.
So Jack's like, we're on our way there now.
McCaffrey is walking around hallways, shooting people as he finds them. He makes his way to the gate room and tells the technician there, who is still not Poulter, and I am still annoyed about it, to dial the gate. Jack comes in and zats McCaffrey, and we see the pile of hagfish slime leave his body and then just go and sploosh through a wall.
And then Jack stares for an excessively long time.
He does.
It's a really long shot of Jack staring.
Yep. Yeah, it was weird. A little bit later, Jack's back in his office and Daniel asks if he can come in. Jack says he shouldn't be walking around and Daniel's like, it's just my arm. His arm is in a sling now. Jack's like, you were shot. And Daniel says, I know. You're the one that shot me. Anubis is still here, is what Daniel has come to talk to Jack about. And Jack says, we don't really know that for sure because he could technically leave the base at any time.
You are technically correct. The best kind of correct.
But Daniel rightfully points out that Anubis isn't going to just want to hang out on Earth indefinitely, but he's going to want to get through the gate. And I didn't really understand why they didn't think that Anubis might want to go and take over some person and then try to become a prominent political figure and like take over Earth and then take over the galaxy from there. But
I don't know.
I guess that wasn't the plan. So they can't do anything really to find him if he's just wandering around in the form of some ooze. They can't kill him because they have no way of killing him. And they have no way of catching him either. So
they need the Ghostbusters device.
They do need the Ghostbusters device. Absolutely. Yeah. Just don't cross the streams. Or maybe cross the streams, depending.
Then they could catch him.
Indeed. Yes. Daniel suggests that they let the ancients deal with him. And he says that if Anubis uses his powers as an ascended being, then he's breaking rules. Isn't he already using his powers as an ascended being?
Think so? I don't know why flying around as an incorporeal being is
and
not...
And taking people over. Yeah.
Whatever.
Daniel says that if they catch him breaking the rules, then they will take action. So they basically have to try to trick Anubis into breaking the rules or force him to break the rules so that then the ascended people will come and take care of him. And Daniel has a plan.
A plan that he shares with the rest of SG-1, Kearney, some guy, Jack. He's like, Anubis has made two attempts to go through the gate, and he's probably going to try again, so now we have to take steps to make this as difficult as possible for him to access the Stargate. Sam is co-presenting this, and they have some convoluted plan where they divide the facility up into three sectors, and none of them can be accessed by the other, and the Stargate command controls are going to go to a different sector than the actual gate room. Like, it's all...
It seemed very nonsensical to me and didn't really seem like it would actually be that effective in keeping him from getting to the gate. And as we'll see later, it really wasn't very effective in keeping him from getting to the gate when Anubis decided to really go for it.
Yeah. So I'm just not going to... I don't want to go into this long, convoluted, like, explanation.
No, but it's fine. Yeah. Long story short, they're going to break down the SGC into three different zones and they're going to have three separate quarantine zones for reasons.
Nobody's going to be able to cross the zones and everyone's going to get their own food and medical supplies and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And nobody, including O'Neill, will be permitted to access a neighboring zone until lockdown.
I mean, SGC's kind of turned into lockdown.
Lockdown, USA. Yeah. Newest Netflix show, guys. Lockdown ends. Until lockdown ends, nobody's going anywhere, even within the SGC. Kearney's like, do you really think this is going to work? And Daniel's like, yeah, sure. He's not going to have any other choice but to use his magic ascended powers that he's totally not using right now.
Yeah.
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 It's going to be great.
Yeah. So it's a weird plan. It doesn't seem like a good plan, but it's the plan that they go with.
It's the plan, yes.
And we get a couple scenes of them securing all of the different zones. And Jack wishes everybody good luck. Then it's 6 days later. I was wondering what they've been doing to keep themselves entertained in all of that time. And also I was wondering things like, are there actual bunk rooms in each of the three separate zones and mess halls and rec rooms?
I don't know.
Or are people basically like sleeping on floors in the hallway or wherever they can find space and just being bored out of their minds the whole time? Because there's obviously only so much work that you can do before you need a break and sleep and food. They did mention that everyone would have their separate food supplies, but I was wondering if they have actual like kitchens and cafeterias in each zone or if people are just going to have to eat MREs the whole time. Anyway, those aren't answers that we ever get.
Yeah, I mean, who the zones without Jell-O are going to be real sad.
Right? And then eventually angry, and it could turn into a riot, I would think.
Yeah.
But apparently they don't actually go long enough for that to happen, because we don't see that happen. Jack is on the red phone with the president.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Patrick.
Talking about the current state of affairs. Nobody is showing any physical symptoms, but they still think that Anubis is there, hiding somewhere. Teal'c comes into Jack's office. Jack wraps up his phone call and tells Teal'c that they have 24 hours to re-establish normal, finger quotes, air quotes, gate operations. Teal'c does point out that it wasn't reasonable to think they could keep the lockdown maintained indefinitely, and Jack supposes... And he gets on the PA and lies to everybody and says that the current situation has been tough and he appreciates all of that everyone is doing, but there's still a threat on the base and Anubis can't be allowed to escape. So the president has authorized him to maintain this lockdown indefinitely. And I was wondering how they could really be sure that Anubis hadn't been in the room listening in on Jack's phone call.
That's true.
Which would completely destroy Jack's plan here to try to force him out, essentially, by making Anubis think he's stuck there indefinitely.
Good point.
Jack says they've only got enough food for another month, so they're going to make sure that they can bring in some supplies securely from the surface. But in the meantime, everyone needs to make themselves comfortable because no one is going anywhere.
We see another shot of that distorted looking view as somebody makes their way down a corridor. And then we see Sam coming to see some guards. She needs to run a diagnostic, she tells them. The guards follow her in and stand by her while she's punching away things on this computer. She then sneaks a zat gun out and shoots them both.
Yep.
So Sam's Anubis.
Peekaboo.
Sam Nubis.
Yeah.
A new Sam.
I like Sam Nubis.
Sam Nubis. Yeah. Sam Nubis leaves and runs into Daniel, and then she shoots Daniel.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Again. But with a zat gun.
Completing the trifecta, everybody else on SG-1 has shot Daniel in this episode. It was glorious.
I guess
glorious.
Enough time has passed since he's last zatting because he doesn't die.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's a nebulous amount of time between zats. But yeah. Sam continues zatting people as she goes.
Again, only once.
Yeah. Which is good.
And I was surprised because I would think that Anubis would be shooting everyone twice. So it was quite kind of him to only be shooting everyone once.
Yeah. Daniel, though, isn't knocked down for very long because Zat power lasts just as long as it's supposed to and never anymore.
Nope.
He heads into the room Sam had exited, finds the SF guards still unconscious because their Zat power is not depleted yet.
Yeah. Well, they don't get zatted nearly as often as Daniel
true,
does, so he
true.
Can walk it off a little faster, I guess.
So Daniel's figuring out what's going on. Sam's continuing to do things as she wanders through the SGC. The lights go out for a moment. For some reason, we see Vasilov wake up when that happens. Daniel's still in the room Sam initially entered and shot people in. He sees what's going on. He sees that Sam is on the move. And so he radios to Teal'c that Sam Nubis is on the way. And Teal'c is ready for it.
He is. Sam continues to shoot her way through the halls.
Shooting the halls.
Shooting the halls. There are alarms sounding now, and there are all kinds of guards running all over the place. Sam comes around a corner, finds another guard, shoots him, and then is zatted by Jack. And we see the slime then leave Sam and just kind of hover in front of Jack a little while. Daniel radios to Jack. Jack tells him to go ahead. And Daniel tells him that there's some issues with the security system and a sequence of timed commands that they are trying to override, but they're not having any luck.
They're in the computer.
They're in the computer?
Jack heads off somewhere, telling guards to keep an eye on whoever it is that's unconscious in the hall here. All kinds of people at this point. Jack walks off and tells Kearney to come with him. They make their way to this very large device. And Jack tells Kearney to ready his key. And I was like, who the hell is Kearney to have a key to the self-destruct mechanism? But this is the self-destruct mechanism, apparently. And for reasons, Kearney has a key to it around his neck. And so they are going to get ready to set off the self-destruct. Kearney is quite surprised and a bit reluctant. But Jack says that they have a major security compromise here and orders Kearney to take his key out when Kearney hesitates. They do the thing to set off the countdown. And then there's a voice over the PA that says that there is 5 minutes to self-destruct. And it starts counting down.
Sam hears this as she's being escorted by some guards because, you know, she had just gone on a shooting spree.
Yes.
She hears the self-destruct announcement and elbows the guard in the face and runs away. Back with the self-destruct device, Jack tells Kearney he did good and then zats him.
Jack is Anubis? What?
What? Shocking.
Jack Nubis.
Jack Nubis.
Onubis?
Onubis. I like that.
No L's?
Yep. We get an announcement from the infirmary point of view that there are 4 minutes now to self-destruct, which Vasilov starts ripping out his IV and tears out of the infirmary for some reason.
It always annoys the crap out of me when in movies or on TV, there are scenes of people just ripping out their IVs and they don't immediately start bleeding everywhere. You have a puncture wound that goes directly to a vein. Blood is going to come out of that if you just rip the needle out without bothering to put any actual pressure directly on the site. But no, everyone's always fine. They just rip it out of their hand.
Yeah.
Don't put pressure on it and no blood ever comes out. It annoys the crap out of me.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Sam runs into the control room. Teal'c aims his weapon, but Sam's like, no, no, it's me. It's totally fine. I need access. I am going to turn off the self-destruct. It's very important. I'm not Anubis anymore. I promise. This is Sam, not Sam Nubis. With 3 minutes to go, Teal'c is like, okay, I believe you. So he doesn't shoot her, and she starts furiously computering. She manages to stop the self-destruct. And Teal'c wishes her well done. Tells her
indeed.
Well done. Yeah.
Yes. Get a bunch of short scenes next with Vasilov wandering around in the halls looking quite unstable. In the control room, Sam is up there now and sees that someone has activated the gate. The gate is starting to dial out. Somewhere else in the facility, Daniel gets on the radio and says that he thinks Anubis is heading for the gate room. I think we've already kind of figured that one out. Sam is trying to override the dialing sequence. Apparently Teal'c is up there with her, so she also heard what Daniel was trying to say, but I'm pretty sure she'd also figured that out already. Then we see that Onubis is in fact the one in the gate room trying to escape. And then Vasilov comes running and screaming at him and tackles him, doing really well for a guy who's literally dying.
Yeah.
Vasilov manages to get Jack's gun away from him, and Jack tells him to stand aside, but Vasilov will not and offers his own body. He tells Onubis to take his body or Vasilov is going to kill both of them. And I thought that that was weird because, first of all, even if Vasilov did shoot Jack, that wouldn't kill Onubis.
Yeah.
And second of all, is there really any benefit to him allowing Onubis to take him over? Because is Onubis able to repair his body the way that a traditional hagfish would?
There's Onubis cannot carry around a little hard hat and a lunchbox and a tool belt.
Right. Like, because he's just slime with no body. So I was confused. And I didn't know if Vasilov was just trying to be selfless and sacrifice himself, or if he was trying to be selfish and save himself here. It was very weird.
It was extremely unclear and probably the thing I dislike most about the episode.
Yeah, there didn't really actually seem to be any tangible benefit to this either way, either as a selfish act or a selfless act. There seemed really to not be any reason for Vasilov to do this.
Yeah.
But in any case, it works because Onubis leaves Jack and heads over to Vasilov. Vasilov and Onubis, Vasnubis, head through the gate and it shuts down. Jack kind of comes to and asks Sam if he got through. And Sam's like, well, sort of. Apparently she overrode the dialing address after Onubis had entered it in and sent him to an ice planet instead. And we get a quick scene of Vasnubis kneeling in some snow, seemingly frozen in place with a blizzard blowing around him. And I just had so many questions as this was the end of the episode.
This felt very Simpsons shinning end of that.
Yes, I thought that too.
Well, he doesn't even get a TV.
Right. So my questions were, is Onubis actually dead?
I'm not dead.
Now, or is he just continuing to hide out on this frozen planet? Is he trapped in Vasilov's frozen body because he doesn't want to be noticed by the ancients? Or can he hang out outside of Vasilov's body as long as he doesn't leave the surface of the planet?
Those are good questions.
And so is he just going to hang out on this ice planet until someone else comes? Or is he actually dead because his gelatinous ooze / smoke froze? And if he leaves the planet, is he going to be alerted by the ancients if he's just like hovering around the planet in space like he was doing on Earth? Or was he only able to get away with it at Earth because he was hiding in space junk? I had so many questions and it was frustrating to me.
Because there are no answers to any of those questions. Yeah.
No, there aren't. Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Yeah. Did you like the episode?
It was fine. I really didn't understand the Vasilov thing at all. And that kind of, I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't get it. But otherwise, like, it was just a pretty standard Stargate episode. And, like, they have a problem on the base. They've got to shut it down. It might be an alien entity taking over people, which we've definitely seen a bunch of times. So it was fine. And so I had my least favorite part of it. And my most favorite part is that everybody shot Daniel.
I hadn't even noticed that, but in hindsight,
it was very amusing.
You're right, and that is hilarious. Yes.
So it was fine, and everybody shot Daniel, which is pretty funny.
It is very funny.
Yeah, I know. So that's not a lot, because, we already talked about my issue with Vasilov, so... How about you?
I did like it for the most part, with the exception of the things that I've already complained about. I did think that the plan of having three separate zones was just so weird. And I was like, well, how long until somebody just figures out a way to get through? Like, how long until Onubis figures out how to get to the gate anyway, either by leapfrogging people or just forcing his way through? And that's exactly what ended up happening. And then the end here, like I said, I found it to be pretty... not even anticlimactic, but just kind of frustrating because it left me with so many questions that don't ever have an answer. And it was just weird. It just seemed like a really weird way to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, mostly I liked it, except for a couple things that were annoying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of those annoying things wrapped up the episode and kind of put a damper on it.
Fair. Yeah. Maybe next time we'll have something more fun. But
indeed.
It will not be in this galaxy.
It will not. It will be back in the Pegasus galaxy with Stargate Atlantis season 1, episode 3, or maybe episode 2, depending on how you're counting it. But let's count it as episode 3.
Perfect.
Hide and seek. The Atlantis base is threatened when the team discovers that an alien entity is in the city. This sounds familiar. McKay's experiment with alien technology goes awry. That was the TVDB. Over at IMDB, Rodney can't remove an ancient device that makes him invincible, or a loony, but prevents him from eating or drinking. Oh, I remember this one. Meanwhile, there are power malfunctions throughout the city, and one of the Athosians mentions seeing a shadow.
That's a terrible description. Like, it's just not very teasery. It's like, I don't know, but yeah.
I remember the Rodney storyline. Yeah. I don't remember the other part of it.
Yeah, me either. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
hopefully. Indeed. So we get a second alien possession entity type of thing, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Shadowy.
Yeah.
Ooze.
Yeah.
Smoke.
Hopefully.
Presumably not goldfish. Presumably not hagfish slime. Because it's a different galaxy, but
we'll find out. We sure will.
Yeah.
And that will be next week. Until then, I would like to say thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening today. We appreciate you so very much. And if you could, let your friends and family know that we have a podcast that they might want to listen to because Stargate's awesome and so are we.
Yay!
You should do that. If you can review us or like us anywhere, that would be awesome too. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by emailing us at stargatesing@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, stargatesing.space. You can leave us messages there. You can use a contact form. You can see our episodes, listen to them. You can find a link to our merch store, which you can also find by going to tinyurl.com/stargatesing.
Woo!
If you are on social media, you can find us on Instagram and mastodon.world at Stargatesing in both those places. And if you are feeling generous, head on over to patreon.com and sign up for some bonus content and our eternal gratitude.
Indeed. We should also start thanking Greffrey for his continued role as assistant editor.
You know me. It's my duty to please that booty.
Thank you, Greffrey, very much for all of your efforts.
Yes, indeed. Yes. He says he intends to continue helping me out with that. Aww. Helping us out with that.
Good
which
people.
Is awesome. And so helpful to me.
Yeah. I'm Kathy.
I'm Mary.
And you have been listening to Stargatesing. The end.
The end. Were you not sure who you were there for a minute?
I don't know what I was doing. I don't know where my brain went. I was taken over by Anubis.
Oh, ooh, Kathnubis.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.